The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio. Mr. Dio, on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show, together we welcome you, midweek edition, Buckmaster, Wednesday, 25 September 2019. I've got some good numbers for you on the rainfall totals, anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half. As Zach Guido, our UA climate guy, was here yesterday talking about, we went from the driest monsoon, basically driest summer thunderstorm season on record, to now 45th, just because we got that rain yesterday. That's how important it is to the numbers. So wasn't one of the worst, still a pretty darn dry summer rainy season, but we may get some more before this low pressure system moves its way out of our area. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk. We have worldwide live listening. That means if you're anywhere in the world and you're by a computer, put in Bill Buckmaster and it will take you to buckmastershow.com, live stream the show. All of our podcasts, we make it so convenient for you. I don't do it, but my assistant does, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure the show gets posted in a very timely manner in the afternoon, so goes into the archive. Then you listen on your schedule. Live line number 790-2040. Let's go now to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who is now teaching physical ed at a new school. He was a social studies teacher at another school. How is the transition going for you, Councilman?
It's been a great transition. It's great to. I'm still teaching middle school, which is, I think, probably the most challenging but most rewarding job in teaching. And I really wanted to stay at my old school, but this had the opportunity of lowering the drive, and I kind of wanted a new adventure. So it's been a pretty amazing transition, and all positive.
Well, a million years ago, during my schooling, we of course had mandatory physical education. Loved it. I enjoyed it very much. It was a great part of the day. I don't know the rules here. Is this mandatory PE? How does it work?
Well, it's an elective, and in our school, we have a considerable amount of kids that are interested in athletics, so we have a pretty robust program. I also have the opportunity to mentor a couple of young teachers, which is pretty exciting. So this has been a neat thing. We have a significant number of kids taking PE. So I'd say almost 90% of the students in the school are actually enrolled in some type of PE class, physical education class.
That's wonderful to hear. Let's talk about this tax deal for a 13-story project on 4th Avenue. There's some blowback on this. I know your colleague, Councilman Kasachek, was the lone vote against this. Kasachek voted, it was a 6-1 vote in favor of this $5.5 million tax deal with a company called Opus Development Company for the construction of a 13-story tower on North 4th Avenue. I think that's where the former Maloney's Tavern stood. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what's the deal? They wanted some kind of decision pretty much right away. They didn't want the delay, or
so
they would.
It goes back to like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. First of all, we've been talking about this deal for over 2 years. It went through an exhaustive public process. There is $1 million. The $1 million in incentives that they'll get from the GPLUT is going directly back into the community, including the Iron Force, FAMA, WUNA, all the different neighborhood stakeholders in that group. Came together and said, hey, we want to do a mutual benefits agreement for the pad. So all the stuff that would be in a CBA, a community benefits agreement, was in the pad. But in the interim, the flycatcher deal happened, and the historic coalition, 4th Avenue Coalition, was formed. And the historic coalition of 4th Avenue I think they have a pretty valid point. And that is one of their concerns. If we keep developing and doing this high impact, high density development in Fourth Avenue, we're going to lose what's cool about Fourth Avenue. So we need to kind of slow down a little bit. And I actually agree with that. However, this deal was actually older than the Flycatcher deal, and the developer had actually done a little more due diligence, in my opinion, but they hadn't formalized a CBA. So it comes down to the last 3 weeks, and the Historic Coalition says, hey, we'd really like to get a community benefit because they're getting the GPLAT. And everybody said, I agree, including the developer, and he thought that delaying it 3 weeks wouldn't be a big deal. Well, then he was told, it sounds like, and again, I wasn't privy to everything. The story I got was, sounds like he was told by his investors, no, you really can't delay because we're kind of lining everything up right now. So what we tried to do in the meeting was say, look, you guys can, we'll approve the GPLAT, which is the government property excise lease tax, and give you some property tax abatement, but you've got to come back with the Fourth Avenue Coalition and make sure you get this CBA done, and we're going to put faith in you. So that's what we did. And I understand the blowback. I know people are worried about deals like this. And I also say this, it may be time to start reexamining how often we use the GPLAT. It's kind of been a good thing for downtown and all that, but are we too quick to give it away? And you know, it is a due diligence process. I think we're going to put something on the agenda to kind of discuss Historic Fourth Avenue to enhance its protection and preservation. So that's kind of the long story of it. I got to commit. I mean, Ward 6 worked actually really hard on the discussion in the thing. And remember, this is high-density, transit-oriented development. If you wanted to build a downtown, if we can't build a downtown, we can't build a high-rise for apartments adjacent to downtown along the railroad tracks. Where can we build? So I stand by the vote, and I think that but I do understand the community's concerns.
What do they want to do with that 13-story? Is that office space, or is it a mix? What they call mixed use?
It'll be mixed use.
So maybe some residential?
Probably, yes. There'll be residential for sure. Mm. A lot of it's residential.
So the whole character of Fourth Avenue is changing big time, isn't it? Paul.
Say that again. I'm sorry. I lost you for a second.
I said the whole character of Fourth Avenue is really in flux, isn't it? The changes.
Yeah, and that scares me. And it scares a lot of people because Fourth Avenue was awesome. Fourth Avenue was what made Tucson unique. Fourth Avenue was something that we can't turn our back on. So it's my thought that we kind of cool the jets on this development and GPLAT stuff and find a way to codify that. I don't know if there's language that we can put in a law that says you can't develop here, but I don't even know if that's actually productive to put a law like that in. But I want to say in a general attitude, a general rule of thumb, these two high-density developments, the Flycatcher and the Valonis thing, they've kind of gone back-to-back, and for now, but if between the university and the railroad tracks on 4th, we really don't need to be in a hurry to do anything else for a while.
No, and you don't want to give away the store. I understand we want development, but maybe, as you say, this discussion needs, have we reached the point where we, maybe the giveaways need to be tapered or really done away with?
It depends. I mean, it depends on what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. It depends if the net to the, here's the thing, the net to the city is actually going to be much higher. This GPLAT isn't like a giveaway of, it's cash that didn't exist.
Okay.
So, their property value is going to go up 25-fold. So we're going to collect 2.5 times the property tax on that property than we were before. So the net to the city is an increase. So before we condemn every single deal as a giveaway or something, you've got to look at like what's the net benefit to the community. In this case, most of the GPLAT money that they're receiving is financed going forward right back into the community and community stakeholders.
Okay.
And then the property tax actual cash bill goes up. So the net to the city is higher than what we were getting in the first place. If we would have gotten status quo, we would have collected less money in property taxes over the next 8 years.
All right.
So I think that's important for people to understand.
All right, that makes sense. We're going to take our break here. When we come back with Councilman Cunningham, an area that is really near and dear to his heart, golf, and there's a proposed deal. The U of A would underwrite a majority of the cost to redevelop Randolph North Golf Course in exchange for allowing U of A's golf team to practice there rather than where they're currently practicing. But I want to talk to the councilman about the whole future of golf in this town. But right now, I want to tell people about one of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's very cool today in Tucson. It's almost Silver City temperatures. So yeah, it almost matches. Oh my goodness, it matches up with Tucson. But that's not usually the case, as we know. We've been monitoring this, Bob, all summer, and it's been running 10, 15, even 20 degrees cooler in Silver City. So what I do want to say is that this is a beautiful time in the high country. What can you say? At 5,000 to 7,000 feet, you're going to get the beginning now of the golden aspen starting to turn here in another week or two over in the land of enchantment. It's worth a three-hour drive. Do a little leaf peeping, as they call it, in New England and where I'm from in the Midwest, where people make very specific road trips to check out autumn color. How about an autumn color trip over to Silver City? Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the information on all the great activities, things to do, and great places to stay. It's Buckmaster. It's exactly 12:16, midweek edition. Be back with Councilman Cunningham, 790-2040, if you have a question or comment.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
A little bit of Steely Dan here on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the live line. Coming up in about, I don't know, about 15 minutes, Dr. Ed Ackerley is in the house. He will be joining me in studio talking about his mayoral run. But now let's go back to Councilman Cunningham. Is there a future for golf still in this community, Paul Cunningham?
I think so. I mean, I think that we have some significant advantages when it comes to golf because we have weather, and we have a kind of a slice of paradise where you can legitimately play. In the summer, it gets a little rough if you don't play early enough, or if the clouds roll in the afternoon. But the bottom line is, you get to play, you know, 300 days a year, 325 days a year. A lot of places don't have that luxury. So I think there's always a future for golf in Tucson. It's interesting to hear a lot of people think, oh wow, you know, city golf is so this or that. City golf has actually broken even on a cash basis for the past 4 years. It is not draining the general fund. There are some accounting things that we can do to actually show how much profit it's made. But the bottom line is that City Golf is designed to break even. It's designed to have a first tee program. It's set up for all the high school kids being who play on their high school teams playing for free. We have a tradition with golf. We hosted a PGA event and an LPGA event for north of 30 years right here in the city limits. And when Accenture came for match play, they moved out of the city limits. They moved into a different area of the county, which is fine. And we got to get the magic back. And every asset, any asset, every 30, 40, 50 years has to be refit or redone. We take a look at some of the other assets that the community has. Even the TCC we've been redoing, and it was built long after the Randolph Golf Course, which was actually built in 1925. So I think there is a future, and I think that there's an opportunity for a mutually beneficial future in golf for the city of Tucson and the University of Arizona golf program with the Randolph Golf Complex.
The U of A would put some money into this deal. How would that work?
That's kind of the idea. I mean, it's a little early to say, and there's still negotiations. There's a lot of discussion. There's, you know, I don't want to say that's going to happen because anybody can kind of surmise that type of thing, but we were in executive session, so you don't want to violate that rule. The bottom line is that yes, it would be some type of partnership like that. As I've made clear, the city would retain ownership of the golf course. The city would retain operational control of the golf course, and the taxpayers of the city would not commit any more money into that golf course than they've already committed through the bond process. So that's where I'm at. Those are my lines in the sand, because we made a commitment to voters that we were going to do that, and that's what we're going to do. So if the U of A wants to come along and say, hey, while you're at it, we want to do whatever, and maybe try this or that, I'm all ears. And if the Conquistadors want to be involved, that's great. But if that meeting of the minds doesn't take place, I don't want to get everyone all excited. We are merely having the discussions early on how this would go, but I've been very clear with the motion that I made on the record that we'd retain the golf course. The taxpayers who built it, the taxpayers who've operated it, will retain the ownership and operations of that golf course with perhaps some amenities and some improvements that the U of A would put in for the benefit of their golf program.
All right.
But that's kind of the 100,000 foot idea.
Okay.
I want to get into the nitty gritty.
Sure. And perhaps I will ask UA President Dr. Robbins, who will be my guest tomorrow, about what he thinks about it. I understand he was quoted in the Star saying he's personally supports the proposal. So,
but
yeah.
I want to say that Dr. Robbins is such an amazing addition to Tucson. He took to Tucson like one of those round pegs in a round hole. I mean, he just gets it.
Yeah, he
and
does.
I think he we're lucky to have him. And he is, from what I understand, he's supportive of going through this process and trying to make something that's mutually beneficial for the city. There's all kinds of different things here. So if we're going to enhance the golf course, well, what does it need to be enhanced? Like, a lot of people are saying, why do this? We have a beautiful golf course on Randolph North. And that's true. We do. So why do this? Well, our golf course, unfortunately, no longer has the length nor the difficulty to be a prime candidate to host NCAA tournaments, to host LVGA events, to host PGA events, but even to the top golfers to be that municipal course that's competitive with the Tacomas and the Torrey Pines and some of the other courses in the Western United States. So, and it used to be one of the best. So
okay.
I think that's the opportunity that we have I'd say, a lot of people say that the best course for a long time was like Tucson National, which I think is just a gorgeous course. Some people say Star Pass when the Raven was still the Raven and it's Arizona National now, and it was in its prime. There were some scenic holes on that course that were just wonderful. So there's all these different nuances to what makes a course special.
Sure.
And Randolph has the right acreage and the right tree growth that it can make that specialness happen. So those are kind of the things that are there. Then the question becomes, well, why would the U of A want it? And again, I don't represent the U of A. I can say that even when they were at Arizona National, the golf program was there at Arizona National for a while. Then now they're at Swellio. Both, again, as I mentioned, Arizona National before, but also Swellio are beautiful courses, by the way. But they're an hour round trip, or usually 90 minutes to 2 hours round trip from campus. And that can present some challenges for you. Whereas the U of A already has some presence at High Corbett Field with their baseball program, and you know you're talking about a 3 mile drive, 10 minutes each way at the most. So,
all right,
those are kind of the reasons that that discussion started in 2008 when Mike Hine was still city manager, and it really has never been fleshed out. I think the opportunity is there now, and if we can come to a deal that I think is beneficial to the city of Tucson and its taxpayers, I'm going to be in support.
All right. We've got about three and a half to 4 minutes before we hit CBS Network News for their one-minute break. But let's take Matt, his call. He has a question for Paul Cunningham. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have already addressed it, but this weekend, Councilman Kozacik did an article regarding the recent discovery of additional PFAS contaminants in our well system, which seems to exceed, and it's very alarming to read, that the threshold was, around 70, and their readings were around 11,000, and then he used the term plume, which is a very distressing thing to hear for monitoring. What is the council? I know you guys have an ongoing lawsuit against 3M. And I'm sure some of that's confidential, but what are you guys doing to monitor and address this? Because I got to admit that it's sort of concerning to hear. And I know we want to be friends and partners with the Air National Guard and with the military, but clearly the implication was that they're still using that contaminant as part of their ongoing firefighting regimen. Thank you.
So, Matthew, thanks for the call. That's a great call. And the second we knew about it, we got calls, I'd say almost 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got those first calls. They said, we got this weird well rating. What's going on? So the first thing we said are any of the readings coming from an active well in our water system? And the answer was no. The day we found out, the council found out, it was on executive session the next day, and within 1 day, the public knew about it. This is not going to be one of those hiding the facts or anything. Like, we want to be as transparent as possible with making sure everyone understands we're getting all the information we can to the public about the water, contaminant and the plume that exists, which is part of a well field that is basically directly behind the airport, which is where some of the dioxane stuff, or in the same vicinity, it's where some of the dioxane stuff where it is from before. Our biggest concern is there's a tributary, surface water tributary to the Santa Cruz in that area. It is not within the plume, but if that expands, we can have a big problem. So I'm pretty sure we are doing everything we can, or I can say with confidence that Tucson Water is doing everything it can to ensure that just like we did with the dioxin 5 years ago, is we are going to, one, contain the contaminant, and then two, clean it up.
All right.
And those are the two processes that we're going to do, and we're going to do it by approaching the polluters as potential partners so that we can, without having a hostile lawsuit or anything like that, we can get the cleanup effort properly funded.
All right. City Councilman Paul Cunningham, thank you for sharing part of your lunch hour with us. We'll take CBS Network News. Thanks, Paul Cunningham.
Bill Buckmaster, thank you for doing what you do for the community. Yeah. Have a great day.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. All right, we've got CBS Radio News. We're taking this one-minute break. We'll hear then from some of the great Buckmaster Show sponsors, then Dr. Ed Ackerley for a half an hour about his campaign for mayor right after this.
CBS News Update. President Trump will hold a news conference in about a half hour from now, even as the whistleblower complaint on his phone call to Ukraine's president goes to Congress. California Republican Devin Nunes.
At 4 o'clock this afternoon, in fact, the DNI is going to transmit the complaint to the Intelligence Committee spaces where all the Intelligence Committee members will have an opportunity to read it.
Well, this afternoon, the president met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who denied he was pressured to investigate the Bidens in that call.
You know there was no pressure. All you have to do is see it, what went on the call.
The president says a summary of the call shows there was no quid pro quo. CBS News legal analyst Jonathan Turley.
This one would be an impeachable offense if proven. Self-dealing is something that can constitute a form of public corruption, an abuse of office. And so this is the real McCoy. You just have to prove it.
A CBS News update. I'm Jim Shenevy.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show here, midweek edition on 10:30 Tucson's most trusted news talk source. This portion of our program presented by our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, of course, has all of your beautiful gardening supplies, plants. I bought some beautiful roses there recently. They're benefiting from yesterday's rain. They're saying, thank you very much. There's a little bit of a difference in that natural rainwater and me taking the hose out there every afternoon. The 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo, all that great handmade merchandise, much of it handmade. Zocalo, for years, they had a very respectable shop, you may recall, over at Country Club and Broadway area. Well, they've moved. They're all part of the Green Things family. They have five shops at Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road, and it's Green Things AZ or ZocaloVillage.com for all the information. Dr. Ed Ackerley is the independent candidate for the mayor of the city of Tucson. He's with me in studio. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and thanks for having me back again. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to take a little deep dive into the campaign, your issues, why you've got into this, what you've learned through the process. Why don't we begin by you actually introducing yourself, perhaps to some people that don't know who Dr. Ed Ackerley is?
Well, great. I was born and raised in Tucson. My folks came to Tucson. My dad was running some radio stations here in town for about 10 years, and then
which ones, brother?
He K-Cub, K-10, and KCEE. So
very cool.
He had management positions in those three stations, and then in 1968, my mom and dad opened up Ackerley Advertising, which now is 51 years old. When I was a young boy, I started there on Saturdays and helping him, and I've been there for 44 years myself.
Where are you located?
We're at the Doubletree Hotel at 445 South Alvernon, there between Broadway and 22nd. We've been there about 18 years.
They've done some upgrades over at that hotel.
Yeah, Alan Norville bought the property recently, and they're moving through a renovation process. It'll take about 2 years to finish everything.
Yeah, so you've been over there for a lot, say nearly 20 years.
Yeah, almost 20 years. We were down at Broadway and Swan for most of our early life, next to the Contiki there, and now it's an office building that we were in. I've been at the agency for about 44 years, so I've been in marketing and advertising most of my life, and then about 28 years ago became a teacher, and have been at the University of Arizona in the Eller College, but also at NAU teaching. So my background is marketing in terms of practitioner, but also marketing in terms of teaching it at the University of Arizona, and then I guess the other thing of significance to me is the fact that I went back to school and became a doctor of education, of all things. So my PhD, EdD, is in educational leadership. So that's an interesting perspective to have, is have a marketing degree and then have a teaching kind of emphasis with my second career. The third thing that I think is important for people to know is that I've been involved in a lot of community organizations over the years. Everything from the Boys Course that my brother directs to nonprofit organizations and helping businesses grow in Tucson over the last, four decades. It's been an interesting experience. And part of that was in being involved in the American Advertising Federation, of which, they have recognized you for your good work.
Yeah, I had a few years ago a wonderful honor. Actually, that Golden Mike Award came right after I left Channel 6 after 22 years and had launched the radio show. So that would have been early in 2011. So I'm very appreciative of that. Go ahead.
Well deserved, too, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You've had a great career.
Thank you.
I got in to become the board member and then president of the local club, the Tucson Advertising Club at the time, and went on through the district offices and rose to be the chairman of the Council of Governors of the American Advertising Federation, which is significant. Because it's the highest, civilian, if you will, position in the American Advertising Federation, the world's largest association. So I rose to the very top of that. So 44 years of experience in advertising, marketing, and public relations, over two decades teaching at the University of Arizona, and then a significant career in association management and leadership. I've basically been preparing all my life to be a mayor, so it's been an interesting process.
And of course, you have watched the city council, you've watched local politics, as have I in 31 years here in town. This was your first active role in getting involved in running for election.
Right. Yeah. Over the years, I've been a watching the parade go by, as I say. I've been involved. A lot of the people that have run for office and have become mayor and council have been friends of mine because of the fact that I've lived here all my life. And even the current council folks and so forth, I know them all, and they're all, you know, colleagues of mine. But I never got involved in the actual process of running and wasn't affiliated in party politics or any of that. I just kind of sat back and watched the party go by, and it wasn't until our current mayor had announced that he was not going to run for another term that I made the decision to jump in and see if my expertise would be helpful to the city.
What do you fear about a Regina Romero mayoral leadership? What worries you, Ed Ackerley?
I think the left-leaning social agenda that has predominated the council over the last few years, you know, it's As another co-host, another host says, mm-hmm. It's not a stock car race. We're not turning left all the time. We shouldn't be turning left all the time. And what I mean by that is the focus of the council and the mayor should be on what the charter tells us that they're supposed to be doing, and that is public safety, roads and transportation, parks, and economic development. And the current council, and certainly the Democratic nominee, has brought a lot of other issues to the table that have to do with national and state issues, which are important to talk about, certainly. But the focus of the mayor and council needs to be on our core services. And we have to get that right first before we can expand and try and do other things. And it seems like we've tried to work on these other issues and make decrees and send off letters and do some things that involve not keeping our eye on the ball of public safety, roads, parks, and economic development. That's what I'm focused on, is what the charter tells us that we're supposed to be doing.
And after all, when you call a cop, you want a cop to show up. And I heard on Christy Simone's show yesterday, Wake Up, he had Mayor Rothschild, and I was surprised actually at the answer from the mayor that the response time for a top priority call, is actually less than 5 minutes, which is considered very good. The problem is, because of our staffing, anything outside of kind of a dire emergency, it's a problem.
Yeah, you know, when Mayor Walkup was mayor, he had about over just under 1,200 officers in the force, and then here we fast forward a decade, and we have about, I think the last number that was announced was 763 commissioned officers. And so just the general math of that, and obviously some of that has come through attrition, reassignment, and doing things a little different way under the police chiefs that have come and gone since then. But certainly just the numbers themselves scream out to us that we are down several hundred officers from just a decade ago. And, you know, our population has increased in that period of time. I think when Mayor Walkup was a mayor, it was about 656,000 in the valley, and we're certainly well over 1 million people now. And so while our ranks of police have been reduced by as much as 40%, that's probably not a good thing for the city of Tucson. We at least need to keep up with the population that keeps coming here.
We had a caller who did not want to go on the air, but I think I know the answer to this question. I will relay it. Caller wanted to know if Ed is accepting donations to your campaign.
Well, we're really happy. You know, Bill, the challenge of running as an independent is, well, first was to gather the signatures. A Democrat or Republican has to get a few signatures. We had to get quite a few. We had to turn in 3,900, a little over that. We turned in 5,200 signatures. That was the first big hurdle. Second big hurdle that we had to do was to get 300 people who live in the city of Tucson to give us a $10 donation. Sounds easy. Sounds like you can just go out and get
300
people. Yeah,
could you give me 10 bucks?
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing. It's actually easier to get people to give you $500 who are committed to the cause than it is to get those 300 people. So it took us about 14 days longer than we wanted to for that target, but we did get that. So what I just want to say that we're running as a clean candidate, a matching funds candidate, it's called. And that's an important thing because every $10 donation that we get from citizens is matched by the state. And both of us are running as matching fund candidates. And I think that's an important thing for people to know. So how do they donate? They can go to my website, Ackerley for Mayor, and they can make the donation there.
All right, let's take our break right here. We can take any call that comes in with questions or comments. 790-2040 for Dr. Ed Ackerley. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster Midweek. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and Andover Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster Midweek Addiction. We hope it's an addiction. We hope the program's an addiction. Addition here for you. Ed Ackerley is here. Dr. Ackerley running as a mayoral candidate for the mayor of Tucson. We have a call here for Dr. Ackerley from Mary Ann. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
Dr. Ackerley, hi. I was told by supporters of Ms. Romero that she's looking at broader issues than you are. She's looking at environment, climate change, immigration, sanctuary, because she's looking at Congress. And I'm wondering what your aspirations are politically.
Well, thank you for the call. And certainly the issues that are being discussed in the campaign, for instance, climate change, which is on her website and she talks about, is certainly an important issue for the community to discuss. But at this point, you know, we need to get police, fire, roads, parks right before we can be talking about some of these global and national and state issues. But my aspirations are certainly just to lend a hand here in the mayoral race and to run this time as a mayoral candidate and contribute back to civically back to my community that I grew up in and love so dearly. And my kids have grown up here, and now I have grandkids that are growing up here. We love Tucson, and my idea is to jump in and help out where I can and invite other people to jump in with me and see if we can't fix some of these lingering problems that have been just for the last decade or more have just been something we can't seem to fix. And I think if we can fix them, if we all jump in together and do this as a community, make a priority for police and fire, make a priority for fixing the roads, make a priority for taking the bond money that we've approved and get these parks back up to where they need to be. Doing all of that will stimulate the economy, and that will bring us even more discretionary funding in the general fund, which we then can provide some of these things that are issues outside of the core issues of the charter. So my aspirations are to be the mayor of the city of Tucson for the next 4 years, and I'm looking forward to that challenge.
Do you think you would be better suited as a so-called business-friendly mayor than Regina Romero?
I certainly, my 44 years in business and helping businesses, hundreds of businesses over the last four decades, to grow and prosper in our community certainly gives me a perspective. Running our own business, my brother and I are now the principals of our Ackerley Advertising, and I've been a principal in that for many years. So having run a business, having helped so many businesses, and understanding the complexity of what it takes to be successful in business in Tucson certainly gives me a perspective that is, I think, needed, because the engine that runs all of this, the engine that creates the discretionary fund and the money that we can use in the budget to sustain some of these programs, comes from sales tax. And sales tax is generated by business. As people buy things here in Tucson, then that sales tax is generated. And that's the major funder of of the things that we want to do, both in discretionary and into the general fund. And we do benefit from property tax and from other forms of contribution into the budget. But as the engine that runs it is this economic development. So if we have good police and fire, good roads, and good parks, then that economic development flows out of that. And the better those first three are, the better the fourth one is. And as that grows, then we can do more in the other areas that you know, could be things we could discuss in the future. But we need to get those first three things right.
And you understand perception of an area. The perception, so many cases, turns out to be reality for a lot of people, as you know, Dr. Ed Ackerley. What is the perception that you see of the city of Tucson right now?
Well, I think that Joe Snell said it well. He was talking at Sun Corridor a couple of weeks ago at a lunch at the second thing that he brought up that we need to fix as a community, as an area, is our roads, because he says when the person who's thinking about starting a business in Tucson flies into TIA and they come down Tucson Boulevard, get onto the roads in the city of Tucson, they look at that from
they hit that first pothole.
Yeah, they look at it from a it's a marketing thing, you know. If you can't fix your roads, how can you do the other things that we're looking for? And that goes to everything. It goes to police and fire, but it also goes to schools and parks and infrastructure and all the things that city's government is supposed to provide. And so I thought it was an interesting perspective that roads was one of the determining factors that Sun Corridor is talking about, is what is the thing that's allowing businesses to want to come and be here. And I was grateful to hear that, because we need to have this focus on public safety and roads in order for us to be successful in the next decade or longer.
We'll have the new city, I think she's still relatively new, the transportation director will be my guest on our Friday Focus interview here at noon. First time I've had her on the program, I'll be interested to hear how her perception is of how we're doing. I know the people of the city of Tucson did approve money for roads, and I think they're making progress. Do you think things are looking a little better?
I do, and yeah. Diana Alarcon is her name, and she is a nice addition to the city manager's staff. I do believe that we need to do a better job there, and part of the reason is that the resources haven't been allocated, because we've been spread so thin. The city council has had so many obligations that they haven't been able to devote the money and resources to fixing the roads, even though we have had bonds and even though the general fund has been the place where we're supposed to be taking that money. So bonds are important, and it's good that we have bonds, but we should be able to take care of the maintenance and repair of the roads through the general fund and then use the bonding as a way to bring in capital projects or things that are additions. And if we can do that under the general fund and make sure that we have a plan in place to fix these roads over the next few years, I think we're moving in the right direction. I just think there needs to be a commitment to that priority.
How about bus service in our city? Many times you'll see a bus going down the street and there's nobody in the bus.
Right. I was criticized within the last month or two from a publication that I had said that the Sunlink, I had suggested that Sunlink, the downtown transportation, that we sometimes should open that up for free rides to people. And then that was translated into Ed Ackerley's for free bus transportation for everybody. Now, what I'm for is for smart transportation for everybody. And, we have technology now that maybe we could use. I was over in Southern California and saw a model which I thought was pretty interesting. Instead of having a whole bunch of giant buses that are empty, they had some bigger buses, obviously, but they had feeder buses that were smaller on the ancillary routes that would pick up just a few people and bring them to the larger line. And that helped solve that first mile, last mile problem that has been talked about, which the scooters were an attempt to perhaps solve part of that problem. So I think there's some smart things that we can do. We have to be careful with buses because there's federal funding involved in that. There's so much intricacy and that's outsourced to a third party. It's an enterprise zone, so it has its own unique critical issues that are with that. But it is, again, from a marketing perspective, which is where I view a lot of things, that we're seeing buses go down the street that are empty. We got to be smarter about how we make sure people get on those and use those and benefit from that and keep the rates where people can afford them and want to use them because they're efficient and meaningful for transportation.
Earlier in our interview, you brought up former Mayor Bob Walkup, and I really believe that he is a man that will be remembered as kind of being the architect of downtown and bringing the light rail here. I know it's been fashionable to kind of knock him on occasion, but I thought he did a great job in trying to get downtown off the ground.
Well, he's also a good model for me because as I become mayor, there may be a 6-0, could be a 4-2 Democratic council, and he was faced with a situation where he was the mayor as a Republican trying to lead a council that was predominantly the other party, and he did do a good job of trying to bridge that gap and make sure that the city progressed. And that would be my goal as mayor, as an independent, to give that independent voice and to lead the council, even if it was 6-0 Democrat, to still have another perspective on some of these discussions that tend to go left a lot. Let's go forward. Let's not go left.
How about your website here in the remaining few moments?
That's www.ackerleyformayor.com. And I also like to give out my phone number, which is 850-7058. And anyone can give me a call at any time. I talk with constituents all the time. I'm open to have a discussion with somebody, and we'll come and meet any group anytime if it fits into my calendar. I love Tucson. I'm looking forward to becoming the next mayor of the city of Tucson, and I hope everybody jumps in and joins me in this endeavor.
And again, your phone number?
520-850-7058.
All right, Ed Ackerley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Pleasure.
Ed Ackerley with us on The Buckmaster Show, mayoral candidate, City of Tucson. That's going to do it for The Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Ackerley and Bob, thank you very much for everything you do, Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass. That's going to do it for Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.